Lecture 24, Luther and Modernity.
Well, here we are at the end of the road, the last lecture on Martin Luther in this series. What are we going to make of all this? We've seen the good and the bad and the ugly. We've seen this lovely idea of the gospel, this comforting word of God that makes you glad in the depths of your conscience and your heart. We've seen these wicked and awful words against the Jews. How do we put this picture together? I'm going to try to assess this phenomenon of Martin Luther by putting it in a larger context, making it part of a larger story, the story of modernity. And so this lecture is on Luther and modernity, how Luther led to where we are now. But of course, that means that my assessment is going to depend on a lot on what I think about modernity, and also, I will mention in advance, about a philosophy of traditions that I'm going to develop based on the philosopher Alistair MacIntyre. So what I'm going to be doing in this lecture will be very much my own assessment. I hope you'll see how it derives from things I've said about Luther before. But I invite you to think critically about my assessment of this. Does this fit with what you've heard in previous lectures? Does this make sense of the whole sweep of Luther's thought as it has been presented in previous lectures? And perhaps you might want to go back to Luther himself and do your own reading and make some decisions yourself about how to fit Luther into the story of the Western tradition and whether he was a good thing, a bad thing, or somehow somewhere in the middle, some complex combination of good and bad and a little bit of ugly. So, let me talk about Luther and modernity, and especially the Reformation and modernity. We'll talk about Luther the theologian a little bit later. Let's think about the Protestant Reformation, which was precipitated so much by Luther's work, and how it leads to where we are now. The Reformation had a lot to do with the origin of this great social, cultural, historical event called the modern world. We could almost say that Luther's decision that the Pope must be the Antichrist precipitated the end of the medieval world and the beginning of the modern world. Now, Luther's decision that the Pope is Antichrist is not all there is to modernity, but I think it's a crucial, decisive moment, a turning point. You can't quite imagine European and American modernity without it. Because what happened, and here's I think the crucial social event, is that Christendom was split. Not just the church, but Christendom, this body politic of Christianity, this notion that the Christian world is not just the church, but also the Christian state, Christian princes, a Christian society, a Christian ethos, all should be one society, one Christendom. That was the medieval ideal, and fairly close to the medieval reality, with some nasty exceptions when you burned heretics or attacked heretical people like in the south of France, and some uneasy relationships with the Jews. Right? Hardly was a perfect ideal, but it did function in Western society, this notion of Christendom. In modernity, Christendom is split, and violently split, especially by religious warfare. In the 17th century, it was characterized by religious warfare. Terribly violent wars between Catholics and Protestants, sometimes among Protestants. And one of the characteristic features of modernity is to try to find a rationale for religious tolerance, a rationale against religious warfare, by providing a political theory of secularism. I am following John Milbank when I suggest that secularism, the very notion of a secular society, is a Western modern invention. Most ancient civilizations do not have a notion of a secular sphere. There's the holy place of the temple, and then there's the profane, non-holy space. But even the profane areas, the areas outside of the temple, which are not sacred space, belong to the god. The social life is shaped by religious values and religious impetuses, religious imperatives in India, in China, in all the great ancient civilizations that you run into in the Bible, right? In Israel, Egypt, Babylon, the whole political life of the people belongs to the gods of the people. So secularity, the notion that there's a neutral public space which is political and free of religious influence, or that there ought to be such a space, is, I think, a distinctively modern and Western European idea, which results precisely from the conflict and the trauma of religious warfare as a result of the Reformation.